Good morning, friends, and welcome to the United Lodge of Theosophists in Philadelphia. We are one of over 20 ULTs around the world, and we have been grateful over the course of the pandemic and now going forward that we have been able to connect with some of them through Zoom. Zoom has been quite the gift to many of us to keep these ideas out in the public. And we have been able to merge it in a universal brotherhood sort of manner as we continue with these ideas being on technology. And we follow the declaration of ULT in how we proceed with our Zoom meetings. We maintain anonymity, offer no crosstalk or side issues, and we ask that participants speak directly to the chairperson when called upon. And these traditions are designed to welcome all to the study of the philosophy, without any kind of anxiety in the way the meetings are run, without any distractions or social differentiations. Let us all work to maintain these declared traditions. And we also ask that if you aren't speaking, to please mute your microphone if you have to get up and walk around. Please turn your video off. And if you are coming into Theosophy Hall on Sundays, we do open at 10:30, so we do have a hybrid meeting, and we ask you to refrain from wearing any strong fragrances, as some of our attendees are very sensitive to the fragrances. So we are having a panel, and we will now turn the meeting over to one of the panelists who will read the Declaration of the United Lodge of Theosophists.
The Declaration of the United Lodge of Theosophists. The policy of this lodge is independent devotion to the cause of theosophy, without professing attachment to any theosophical organization. It is loyal to the great founders of the theosophical movement, but does not concern itself with dissensions or differences of individual opinion. The work it has on hand and the end it keeps in view are too absorbing and too lofty to leave it the time or inclination to take part in side issues. That work and that end is the dissemination of the fundamental principles of the philosophy of theosophy and the exemplification and practice of those principles through a truer realization of the self, a profounder conviction of universal brotherhood. It holds that the unassailable basis for union among theosophists, wherever and however situated, is similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching, and therefore as neither constitution, bylaws, nor officers, the sole bond between its associates being that basis. And it aims to disseminate this idea among theosophists in the furtherance of unity. It regards as theosophists all who are engaged in the true service of humanity, without distinction of race, creed, sex, condition, or organization. It welcomes to its association all those who are in accord with its declared purposes and who desire to fit themselves by study and otherwise to be the better able to help and teach others. The true theosophist belongs to no cult or sect, yet belongs to each and all. The following is the form signed by associates of the United Lodge of Theosophists. Being in sympathy with the purpose of this lodge as set forth in its declaration, I hereby record my desire to be enrolled as an associate, it being understood that no such association calls for no obligation on my part other than that which I myself determine. Thank you.
So the ULT here in Philadelphia, in order to accomplish the goals that were set forth in the declaration, we do have 3 meetings a week. As today on Sundays, we are hybrid. The doors open at 10:30. The meeting starts at 11 and runs until 12. On Sundays, we do have an overall monthly topic, and the Sunday meetings do follow whatever that topic is. For this month of June, we are looking at the overall topic of practical theosophy. We initially started out with the alchemical transmutation to selflessness. Then last week, we looked at will prayer and mindful meditation. Today, the topic for today's panel is the virtue of indifference to pleasure and pain. Next week, the formation of the nucleus of universal brotherhood. On Wednesdays, this coming Wednesday is ULT Day, where we commemorate Robert Crosby's life and legacy to the United Lodge of Theosophists. The title is The United Lodge of Theosophists, Its Mission and Future. We just asked maybe people can gather, whether on Zoom or here at Theosophy Hall, around 5 or 10 minutes earlier than normal in order to get into a more quiet meditative mood for the meeting. So we just ask. Oh, and plus, after the presentations are done, if you wish to bring some of your favorite quotes from Mr. Crosby, we will be able to have them presented, and any discussion will be requested. And on Wednesdays, we do have a library. It is a reference library. It opens up doors open at 6:15 for a library hour from 6:15 until 7:15. The meeting then starts at 7:30 and runs until 8:45. And you can also buy books at cost from our book table before and after our Wednesday and Sunday meetings. On Friday, we do have a totally Zoom meeting. It is a roundtable discussion, and we are looking at some of Mr. Judge's letters in the book, Letters That Have Helped Me. And this coming Friday, we'll be finishing up letter 11. We had very lively discussions on that this past Wednesday. So we still have some of that letter that we need to finish discussing. Friday's meeting starts on Zoom at 6:30 and runs until 7:30. The United Lodge of Theosophists is financially sustained entirely by voluntary contributions. Its activities depend similarly on voluntary offerings in time and work. All are invited to participate, but no obligation is imposed or implied. So the meeting today is a panel discussion As was said, we will be looking at the virtue of indifference to pleasure and to pain. And we've been looking, as we said, this month on the idea of the overall topic of being practical theosophy. And how does that fit in with this topic for today's meeting, the virtue of indifference to pleasure and to pain? How is that a practical idea? Well, that will go forth with the entire meeting, and we will have a more of an understanding about it when the meeting is over. So today, the title of the panel, Virtue of Indifference to Pleasure and Pain, that is actually a consideration of the fourth divine virtue of Virga, indifference to pleasure and to pain, illusion conquered, truth alone perceived. So the virtues can be found listed in the Voice of the Silence on page 52. And for those of you who don't happen to have the book handy, we'll just read them. They're very short. The first divine virtue is Dana, the key of charity and love, immortal. Number two is Shila, the key of harmony in word and act, the key that counterbalances the cause and the effect, and leaves no further room for karmic action. Number three is Shanti, patience sweet that naught can ruffle. Then four is Virga, the one that we're going to look at today. And this is like the pivotal virtue. Virga, indifference to pleasure and to pain, illusion conquered, truth alone perceived. Number five is Virya, the dauntless energy that fights its way to the supernal truth out of the mire of lies, terrestrial. Number six is Dhyana, whose golden gate once opened leads the Narjal toward the realm of Sat eternal and its ceaseless contemplation. Lastly, number seven is Prajna, the key to which makes of a man a god, creating him a bodhisattva, son of the Dhyanis. So we wanted to just let folks know a little bit of what we're going to be looking at today. So there is in Magazine Theosophy, excuse us, the Theosophical Movement magazine, there is a study on the divine virtues. And this is taken from their publication of Virga. The fourth paramita is Virga, described as indifference to pleasure and to pain, illusion conquered, truth alone perceived. Following the first three paramitas, which is another way of saying the divine virtues, we have gained love, harmony, and patience, and now stand at the middle point of the paramita path. So far, the mind has been taught to express love in charity, to speak and act in harmony, to learn to wait patiently, but mind should also be free from the senses, turbulent emotions, uncontrolled speech, and instinctive actions. Above all, it should be made free from illusion. Virga is the golden key, which helps the aspirant to pass the gate of temptations, temptations which tend to ensnare the personal man. So this first part of the panel will be about those temptations which tend to ensnare the personal man, because there are virtues that are not considered to be these divine ones, but they are looked at as being more of mundane ones. And how can indifference to pleasure and pain be considered practical theosophy? Is the ability to do so something that we are able to do at our level of evolution? The mind is driven by human feelings and passions and the senses. And if we can study the voice of the silence, it can assist us in managing our senses to raise up our mind to a higher spiritual level. And the purpose of the voice of the silence is an integration of body, mind, and spirit. And we did want to let everybody know that not this coming Wednesday, because we are studying, we are having that special commemorative meeting, but the following Wednesday, we will be starting our studies in the Bhagavad Gita, which will also be able to help us to raise our mind up to a higher spiritual level. And the whole idea is that a pure mind will make the body clean, a controlled mind will make the body steady, an illuminated mind will make the body radiant. So this is where we want to go. But as of now, at this level of our evolution, our virtues are being practiced in a more mundane level. And virga means without raga or attachments, no attachments to anything. And it is very hard for us at this point in time to not become attached to pleasure, you know, pleasurable things especially, whether it be emotional pleasures, you know, money pleasures, whatever makes us happy. It is very hard at this point in time to not become attached. So this idea of indifference, we don't want to be more attached. And when we say indifference, our second talk will be more about the idea of what this indifference means. But it's a higher indifference. Whereas in our state, when we look at being indifferent, we're more like detaching from other people's problems and issues. We don't become indifferent to theirs, but we don't want to become focused on pain or pleasure. We are so attached to outside experiences and objects that if we do not have them, we lose our pleasure and we then experience pain. And it's important to understand that conditioned existence is impermanent and lacks true selfhood and brotherhood. So our goal then is to try and raise up these mundane virtues. And by doing that, we have to connect with the higher mind. At this point, our lower mind is more the functional piece in our lives when it comes to indifference to pleasure and pain. It is the mundane mind. And it is a goal for us to try and raise up that mundane mind to a higher level. And we need to be able to look at our lives. We have to do self-reflection And this is done through the eye of the perceiver again, which is also the mind. And we have to see what our duty is. By knowing what our duty is and doing it without the expectation of a reward, this will help us to raise ourselves up. We need to find the middle way of detachment between our selfish material ways and divine charity. But people would say, why would I want to detach from pleasurable experiences, thoughts, and feelings? And why would I, and the whole idea of pain, how can I possibly detach from pain when my body is in such a state? And the problem is not just getting rid of the pleasure or getting rid of the pain. It's how our mind reacts to it. And what is our motive? Motive is an all-important idea. And we could be led, by doing this, we could be led to focus off of ourselves and onto others, because as of now, it's the opposite. It is not actual indifference, as we said, to the pleasure or to pain, but our attachments have to be brought under control. We can be obsessed, we can focus constantly on something, and it's these type of things that really do get us into trouble. It blocks our mind's focus from others. It prevents these higher thoughts from higher mind and Buddhi from getting through to change the way we think and act. It affects our karmic future and how we learn our lessons and how we evolve spiritually is based upon our reaction, our motives to pleasure and to pain. So how do we change this? It's an awareness that we do have to change, and the knowledge that we are all spiritual beings, and that if we do detach with love and compassion, then we will all grow spiritually. So we do want to just end with a very short quote. The body is not self. Thyself is in itself without a body, and either praise or blame affects it not. So we will now go on to our second presenter to give us the higher idea of it.
This indifference to pleasure and to pain, illusion conquered and truth alone perceived. The path to wisdom and knowledge is a hard and thorny path. But before we begin this journey, we must check our motive. And what is that motive? To be of benefit to mankind. Then we can use this path or these paramitas to garner spiritual knowledge. This is a state of mind. We have to pass the gate of temptation. Attachments or aversion, we have to raise ourselves above these. Now, we live in a world of three qualities, of ignorance, of action, and of harmony. Well, viraga is of the same qualities. that we need to remember that Virga stands at the midpoint where we take the personal and try to embody the impersonal, where we take the personality and try to incorporate the individuality. This higher indifference is the capacity to evaluate every man, every object, every event as its true nature. Virga is dispassionate awareness to look at everything and evaluate everything without losing inner balance, ascribing no false value to anything because of our likes and dislikes. It is mental detachment. We have to control the senses, but we must control the mind. But we can't be a hypocrite in this endeavor. We cannot shut out the world. Being human is feeling and loving, is pleasure and pain. We cannot close our hearts to the love and understanding and the pain of the world. This would be selfishness. And we withdraw our feelings just to protect our heart. We cannot close our heart up. We are told that the universe exists for the experience and emancipation of the soul. So we need no attachments, for we feel more keenly pain and pleasure. Part of the mind experiences the emotion. Another part is detached. This is how we learn our lessons. This is how we process information through the observer.
You're muted.
Yes, I see that. We need to sacrifice pleasure, for our lives are short, and we need not search for pleasure, or wherever it comes, we cannot look for it outside of ourselves. Conditioned existence exists of suffering, and it is impersonal, and it's devoid of selfhood. Everything, even pleasure, is potential suffering, attachment to everything in the world. Pain often leads to true detachment, jolts us out of complacency. So really, Virga is the starting point of the paramitas. Cultivation of detached concern. Impersonal love. Self-identifying attachment to wife, children, and household is found in the words of the Gita. The Gita is the devotional book that we should all read and meditate upon. And we should always renounce the results of our actions. The law brings forth the best results. Through devotion, we accept all that comes to us. Looking for good results, we are bound by that desire. anywhere we turn in the Gita, we find an expression of disattachment. Just to turn a page, in the fourth chapter, all the actions of such a man who is free from self-interest, who is devoted, with heart set upon spiritual knowledge, and whose acts are sacrifices for the sake of the Supreme, are devoted and left without effect on him. In the second chapter, a man who, having abandoned all desire, acts without covetousness, selfishness, or pride, deeming himself neither actor nor possessor, attains to rest. This, O son of Pritha, is dependence upon the Supreme Spirit. He who possesses this goes no more astray. Having obtained it, therefore establishes at the hour of death, he passes on to Nirvana and the Supreme. And again, make pleasure and pain, gain and loss, victory and defeat, the same to thee, and then prepare for battle. For thus and thus alone shall thou in action still be free from sin. We find these words, these ideas and sentiments reflected throughout the Gita. We are told that even the greatest of sages uses the Gita to reorient his mind, to bring his mind back to a spiritual perception of what the ideals of living the life is. Well, I think that's really basically what Viraga is about. It's about conquering the illusions of life and perceiving that which is real, that which is permanent, that which is everlasting. And that is the perceiver. That is the spirit. And we should live our life in spirit and not be attached to the changing aspects of life. For one of the main components of living life is change. But we must stand in that spot where we perceive that change, and we can raise ourselves above the idea of pain and pleasure. As was said, the foundation of life is love, harmony, and patience. And through that, we begin the path of indifference to pleasure and pain. And the fifth paramita is virga, dauntless energy. And we've always wondered, how can we accumulate, or how can we display this dauntless energy? Well, when the heart perceives that which is illusion and that which is true, it is energized and it comes from within, and we are able to conquer this world of illusion through our understanding of knowledge. So, the universe is here for the emancipation of the soul. So, be emancipated. So we'll open it up for questions.
This is SL. I'm having difficulty with my video. May I ask a question?
Please.
No.
Thank you. When we listen to that word indifference, and even when we talk about it as detachment, it seems to have a negative, and I don't mean in terms of judgmental, but a negative aspect. In other words, something that we shouldn't do or a perspective that we shouldn't take. But if we play with that word a little bit, difference is the recognition of things being different or differentiation. Indifference would be the recognition that everything is part of one whole. So what we were wondering is if the virtue of indifference to pleasure and pain is to mentally realize that pleasure and pain, victory and defeat, abuse, praise, mistreatment, all of that is part of life. It all comes from the same source. It's all has its place in our evolution. In other words, to see the unity in it all. And that would be the positive act, or the positive mental approach to indifference.
Like the philosophy says, there's positive and negatives. There's two poles to everything. So the idea of there being a positive spin on indifference, we would definitely say there would be. And we think that studying this virtue definitely brings that out, because indifference can be a positive action or thought that somebody can take. Because if we are being indifferent towards another who maybe is acting in an unhealthy way, in an unloving way, they're not being compassionate, whatever. If we can pull ourselves away and be indifferent to whatever it is that's they're doing and not letting it affect us, then we can see where that would be a positive take on the idea of indifference, is just not letting whatever somebody else is doing bother us, emotionally, our thoughts, not being obsessive, that sort of thing.
The word indifference, we can call it dispassion, dispassionate awareness. We can call it renunciation of the fruits of our action. We can call it sacrifice. But in indifference to the world would be hypocritical as a human being to deny that pleasure and pain does not exist. Because we are in this world of opposites, and this world of opposites gives us the contrast where we can learn the lessons of life. But once we have learned those lessons, we need to raise ourselves up above these pairs of opposites. And when we say raise ourselves up, we mean not be affected by them. Now, we find that we see people in life who are feeling downtrodden or just feel ecstatic about what's going on. And these are not bad nothing is bad. They are what they are, but we shouldn't long for them after they have passed. We should accept life as it comes to us. Accept the workings of karma. Accept what comes to us. And do not wish for either something good or something bad for us or for anyone. Life is for us to learn, to understand who and what we are. So, indifference, yes. Indifference to pain and pleasure, but we do not deny the existence of it.
Yeah. We have a comment. Oh, we're sorry. Did we?
No, please go ahead.
No, never mind.
Is a chat?
Why is indifference to pleasure and pain essential to practical theosophy, which is interpersonal and divine altruism?
Well, to answer that question, the philosophy of theosophy is based on impersonality. It is that higher detachment that when we come to these rooms, we do not linger on the personality, because the personality is changing. It is taken up with that which is pleasurable and taken up with that which is suffering. We think that's what we are, but it is not what we are. We are not these bodies. We are not these feelings. We are more than that. We are eternal beings. We are that light of love and understanding, of harmony and patience. We can only attain that by an impersonal stance of looking at life as it truly is, not how we want it to be. And we can only do that impersonally.
And when we look at the declaration, we're looking at the idea of anonymity, and focusing on universal brotherhood. So in that respect, when we look at the declaration, we can see that it also is putting forth this idea of indifference in a practical way as well. Yes, Theosophy Hall.
Yeah, I think with the fifth paramita, it's interesting because it opens up a receptive action of this, where we're talking about our heart. We can't deny the feeling of pain, and we have to be receptive. There's also an active where we have to give quality, either take a stance of positive quality or a negative quality. And then there's also an equilibrium. There's a point where there's a neutral point in indifference. So I think you spoke about the fifth paramita and you touched on all three of those aspects of this virtue.
Yes, that's a good point. Virya.
Could you summarize that?
Oh, sorry. Yes. The comment had to do with the fifth paramita, virya, and how, and if I'm summarizing correctly, how the energy that is brought forward through virya and affecting this idea of indifference, it can help us proceed along with this idea of indifference to pleasure and pain and try and raise it up towards a higher level.
I think it's more that there's those three aspects to this virtue. There's a positive, there's a negative, and there's a neutralizing. And it seems like, you know, the highest realization of this paramita is a middle point. It's an equilibrium. It's a neutral point.
Now, are you speaking of the fifth or the fourth when you're talking about this paramita?
The fifth. Indifference.
That's four. But yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, is that four?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I was confused. The indifference, we're talking about the fourth. Three different aspects. In its highest realization, is a neutral position. It has an active or receptive, if we're talking about feelings in the heart and being receptive and not denying difficult feelings or experiences. And then there's also an active where we have to maybe take a positive approach to not let ourselves be overcome by a negative or
okay.
a positive. See what I'm saying? And I think you touched on all three of those when you were speaking about this virtue and some of the different qualities and aspects of it.
So the comment then has to do with three aspects to this idea of virga, indifference to pleasure and pain, that there is a higher aspect to it. And of course, there's the lower aspect to it, but there's that middle ground that we can also see. And we think this idea with the middle ground that some of us might be in that position now, that we're trying to become more indifferent. The lower aspect being those that with the idea of indifference, but indifference in a more negative sense, whereas the higher one would be what we're aiming for. But we would think that any given time we could actually be functioning from one level to the other.
Well, we have to remember that the world is made up of three qualities, all of life, sattva, rajas, and tamas. And these are exactly what the questioner is talking about. These three qualities. That of tamas is running away. And that of rajas is the active pursuit. And sattva is that higher indifference. So we are in the world, but we are not of it. So these qualities pervade everything from our faith to our indifference. These qualities we're constantly in this world of opposites, are not in one of these qualities, but they're intermixed Sometimes we're in one, sometimes we're in another, sometimes two are blended together.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in pursuit of this indifference to the, we would say the pleasures and the pain of the world, but we also know that what will shake us out of this complacency is pain. Pain makes us look at the world a little differently, a little more compassionately, while those who try to satiate their pleasures find that there is pain at the end of this. So everything in this world of pleasure ultimately ends up in pain.
We have another chat. Karma is said to be indifferent to persons. What does that mean? And then there's a couple other chats after that. But the idea of karma is said to be indifferent to persons. What does that mean? Well, karma's purpose is to balance the universe. Like if there's something that happens and it could be good or bad, then karma will balance it out because that's what the universe is looking for. So it's indifferent to people because it's the person who is making the choices that is unsettling the universe. So the idea of indifferent to persons is that it's not your personality that will make your karma good or bad. That didn't come out right. It's not the way it's not the money we have. It's not, you know, it doesn't matter who we are, what we have. It's our choices, and karma will reflect those choices, and it doesn't look at who the person is.
You know, karma, as was said, balances out our actions. So being indifferent to persons is really how we need to look at life. Impersonally, we are not this pain or this pleasure that we experience. We are more than that. And then another chat is, why is indifference to pleasure and pain necessary to self-examination and self-study? Well, we know very well that if we are attached to pleasure and pain, we cannot look at things objectively. It's colored. Our perceptions are colored by the experience. We are not the experience, we're the observer of it. So that indifference to pleasure and pain is necessary for self-examination and self-study, or otherwise, we cannot look at it objectively. We lose our objectivity.
And there's another chat that goes along with this. The comment is, pain is subjective, as is pleasure. That's true. It is all an inward experience, how we see and react and feel about anything that comes our way, whether it's pain or pleasure. And pleasure can be a negative if all we are doing is chasing after it.
So the paramitas are really a state of mind. It's the attitude. It's the motive which we have to develop. And the only true motive that we can have is to benefit humanity. That will keep us true to our use of these paramitas, because this is an internal dialogue we need to develop. Not that we should externalize, which we can, but we need to internalize these paramitas. We need to feel this love and charity towards others. We need to see the harmony of life. We need to have patience. And we need to raise ourselves above the pairs of opposites. And when we do this, it energizes the heart. And from there flows this energy, this dauntless energy that moves us forward. It's self-propelling. It comes from within.
There's another chat. Is indifference necessary for self-reliance?
Well, we would say, of course. You know, but then we cannot be hypocritical about it. You know, we can't deny that pleasure and pain exist, but we cannot be influenced by it. I think it describes or depends on how it influences us. I think that is the other comment that we find following up this question. Everything is our attachment. Whatever we are attached to colors our response and produces karma, produces an effect. That's why we're told in the Gita, do not look for the results of one's actions. Be indifferent. Be impersonal. Be in love with life.
And we think that when the two chats, it says, is indifference necessary for self-reliance? We think that it could be a yes and a no answer, because in many respects, depending upon how we look at indifference, whether it's from that higher aspect or the lower, it gives us the ability to look at things differently. And by looking at things differently, especially if we're looking at indifference in a positive way, we are not held down by the materialism and the way that we might be affected by, as it says in the second one, it depends on how it influences you. Yes. I mean, indifference to pleasure and pain does influence us, but it's our reaction to it that will determine if we are going to be self-reliant or if we're going to depend on others to make decisions for us.
You know, part of Viraga is illusion conquered. So this higher indifference is the capacity to evaluate every man, every object, every event as its true nature, to see the truth behind the illusion. For we live in a world that is constantly changing. So that is the illusion. What stands behind it is the permanent and the everlasting. Well, we hope you found these ideas helpful. We like to remind that this lodge, as all other lodges, are sustained through voluntary contributions of time, service, and money. All are invited to participate, but no obligation is inferred or implied. You have a good day, good week, good month, good year, and a good life.
And we will